Good afternoon, this is Peter Hom from the National Park Service. Today is May 1st, 1991. We are in Franklin Square with John Peter, who came through Ellis Island in 1926. Can you tell me, first of all, your full name and your date of birth?
Oh, my full name is John G. Peter, and I was born January 12th, 1921.
Okay, and what does the G stand for? The G, what does it stand for?
Oh, that's for George. It's my father's name.
Okay, so let's start off first by talking about your parents. Can you tell me the full name of both your parents?
Yeah. My father was George Peter, and my mother was Catherine Peter.
Okay, and what did they do for a living?
My father, he was a butcher by trade, mm-hmm. but he also worked in as a cook. Both.
Did he own his own shop?
In Germany, before they came to this country, they had a place just opposite the main railroad station in Frankfurt. That was in 1914. And then he had to go into the army in 1914. And his both parents died that same year, so they lost that place. And then when he came out of the service, naturally this restaurant was gone. Then he married my mother. It was in 1920, thereabouts. And then he moved to a small town where I was born, into my grandfather's house. And he also managed a restaurant downstairs, also opposite a small railroad station. It's a very small town, that was.
And your mother, what did she do for a living?
My mother, she was a housewife, basically.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember helping her with any chores around the house?
Oh, yeah. And especially when we were younger, we always had to help her. And every Saturday, cleaning the house, dusting, and we had to wash up floors and wax floors. This was a standard Saturday procedure.
Mm-hmm. Really? Were there any brothers or sisters?
No.
Okay, it's just you were an only child.
Right.
Okay, so just describe, basically, let's start by your religion. Was there any religion in the house?
Well, my father was Catholic and my mother was Protestant, but they were not church-going people to the extent that they went every Sunday. But when I started the school in the Bushwick section, PS 116 on Knickerbocker Avenue, I started kindergarten up to about the third grade. But anyway, coming home from school, there was a church across the street. And for some reason or other, I started going there. And I got interested very much in church at the time. And then I mentioned that to our landlady. And then she started taking me to her church where she went every Sunday. She said, if he likes to go to church that much, he'll take me along. And that was nice. And since then, I've been going to the church.
Okay, well, let's talk about your home back in Germany. You said you lived with your grandparents?
In the grandparents' house.
Yes. Well, can you describe the house?
Yeah, well, it was downstairs. It was a corner house right opposite a small railroad station. It was a small town. And downstairs was the bar and the restaurant. And we lived towards the back end of it on the side. And my grandparents lived upstairs. I think it was three stories, this building.
What was the name of the town?
Sprendlingen.
Can you spell that, please?
Sprend. Lingen. Mm-hmm. It's just south of Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. There are three towns. There's two towns in between. There's Frankfurt, then comes Offenbach, then comes Neu-Isenburg, and then comes Sprendlingen. It's not too far from Frankfurt.
Mm-hmm. And as I asked before, did you ever help your mother with cooking? I know you were rather young, but did you ever help your mother cook? Was she a good
cook? Well, as far as that guy, I peel potatoes and things like this. I used to like the be in the kitchen help. Me and my father did a lot of cooking, so I was interested in cooking. But primarily, I helped her with giving her a hand with different things. The only time I did more than cooking was like during the Depression years, and when my father was out of work for 2.5 years, and then my mother took in homework, where she made collars, fancy collars with ruffles and put nice fancy buttons on them. Well, I learned how to sew on buttons, and she showed me how to make ruffles in the sewing machine. And then she made belts, also cloth belts, and I turned them inside out after she sewed them together. I had a long stick to turn them inside out, and I helped like that. And my father, I guess it probably was illegal then at the time, but he started, being that he was a butcher by trade, he made cold cuts. And we had a route of customers, which I delivered on roller skates. I raced skater on after school, skater on the neighborhood, delivering cold cuts just to keep my head above water.
I'm sorry, is this in Germany or here?
Here. This was after we came here.
Okay, well,
jumped the gun.
Yeah, I still want to continue life back in Germany. Did you start school? Did you ever start school at an early age?
I was in some... I'm like a kindergarten-type school over there.
Can you describe the school?
Not really. All I know, there was sisters who were in charge of the school, but I don't know too much about it.
You don't remember what you did? What kind of...
It was mostly playing. It was mostly playing and with other children. I was, at that time, I must have been about four when I went over there. I guess it was like a nursery school, you could say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess is there anything special about Christmas celebrations or holiday celebrations?
Well, that I remember. Of course, we had a tree with real live candles on it, burning candles. And that was very intriguing to see this. And I can still remember that sight. And I still was sort of afraid to go back into the room because Santa Claus might be still there. But they didn't say Santa Claus. They also say the Christkind is the Christ child. And then I sort of was in awe and afraid to go into the room, sort of, till they calmed me down. Yeah.
Well, your reason, why did your family, who decided really to come to the United States?
Well, my father, I would say, and mother. Mm-hmm. They had friends from the town who were over here, and I guess they corresponded with them, and things were not too good over there at the time.
How were they not too good? What do you mean by that?
Well, the inflation rate was extremely high because I think it cost millions and billions of dollars just to mail a letter.
Well, do you remember why this inflation occurred? What was the cause of this inflation?
Well, I would say it had something to do with World War One, that the unemployment rate was high and everything became very costly.
How did your family adjust to these situations? Did they have to work longer hours or anything like that?
No, but that's why they decided to come to America.
To get away from that.
Get away from that hard. You couldn't get anywhere. They had money. I remember seeing a room. It was all valueless money. It was a mountain of it there. So anyway, it looked like a mountain of it, like a mountain to me.
So your parents really decided to then come to America?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember them telling you how they were... How did you feel when they told you that you were coming to America?
Well, I didn't really like to go because I still had my friends there and I had to give up a few toys and things like this, which I didn't have many of, but I couldn't take them along and things.
So you really didn't want to leave?
No, not at the time.
Okay, so how about your preparations? Were there any preparations to leave? Did you pack anything special?
Well, I did pack one thing that they allowed it, that I was put a little record player I had. That's the only thing that I wanted to take. But then in packing it, I broke it. And then I left it.
Okay, so what port did you leave from? Do you remember that?
Well, I'm not quite sure if it's Cuxhaven or was it Bremerhaven. One of those two. I know the ship was the Bremen, it was the old Bremen. It was a very small ship.
And how did you arrive at the port?
By train.
By train. How long was the train ride?
I don't remember that.
Well, do you remember who's overnight?
No.
Okay, well, let's get you on ship then. Is there anything special about the ship? How about the accommodations?
Well, they were very cramped and crowded, and the ship itself was small, and it didn't was not a, rather not a fast ship. I think the voyage took about 13, 14 days. We actually went a little longer than it was scheduled to be because there were tremendous storms.
And just describe the food, for example. What was the food like?
Well, it's the food was all right. It was basic fare, but there was inside the ships at that time. They were not air conditioned. They just had these air pipes on the deck, which they could turn to get in air. And you had a lot of unpleasant odors downstairs from the ship was always maintained and painted. So you had odors of paint, you had odors of food, people got sick, all these odors combined. We spent most of the time on deck, my father and I. My mother was very ill. She seldom came out of her bunk.
Did you have any physical problems? Was there seasickness on board?
Oh, a number of people, but I myself didn't get sick. But my mother, she was very sick.
Well, throughout the whole
Yeah.
voyage.
I don't even remember her walking on the deck.
Okay, you said that it was a very rough voyage. Do you remember being scared or how you felt being on the ship?
I wasn't really frightened, but I was amazed at the waves. I went looking off the side of the ship, some of the waves, you had almost look up to see the top of the wave. When the ship came down and below, and it's a low portion of a wave, you looked up at the water. And that was a sight I've never seen before.
How did you pass time on the ship?
Mostly just walking around with my father, and then the one sailor there, he gave me a broom, which I could make believe I'm riding a horse. I'm running around the deck playing horse.
Do you remember his name?
No,
Sailor's name?
but I did a very bad thing to him. Not very. Didn't show much gratitude for letting him handle the stick, because in the end, I threatened I was going to throw it overboard, and I did. I threw his broom overboard.
Really? Okay. And
And he was angry at me
oh, really? I bet
then.
so. This was towards the end of your voyage?
Well, during the voyage, exactly day by day, I can't recall it day by day.
Okay, and you said the trip took about 2 weeks, 14 days,
Yeah,
so.
about 14 days.
Okay, and when you arrived in New York, what were your first feelings of finally being in New York?
Well, first the ship came down the harbor, and we passed the Statue of Liberty, and my father pointed out the Statue of Liberty to me. They call it the Freedom Statue, the Statue of Freedom.
What were your feelings when you first saw it?
Well, I was impressed at the size of it. I mean, as a 5-year-old, you don't think too far outside of size and things like this. But then, as the ship came down the harbor, there was in the distance a tugboat pulling barges with little cars on top, and then a man was walking along the side there, and that shocked me that what small people have in this country. Of course, I never had seen anything across such a large open area ever before. And saw it in the distance, and never realized that when someone is further away, they look smaller. So I just figured that's tiny people here.
Okay, so describe what happened after you arrived in New York, after the
Well,
ship
we
was
landed
unloaded.
in Manhattan, and they put us on a boat and took us over to Ellis Island
Okay, so
from Manhattan.
did you have to wait long to get to Ellis?
This I don't remember either exactly how long we waited. But we went from the pier onto a boat.
And the boat took you to Ellis Island.
Boat took us to Ellis
And
Island.
do you remember how long you actually stayed at Ellis?
No, just about a day. We came the same day. We left Ellis Island the same day that we got there.
Okay, were you relieved to finally be in America, to be on land? Since you were at sea for 2 weeks, I imagine you were very grateful to finally be on
land. Yeah, it was nice and it was exciting to get be on land because it was all traveling into the unknown, really. And when we got at the when we arrived at the battery, we had sponsors. You had to have a sponsor to come into the country years ago. You couldn't just step off a boat without having someone who sponsored you. They were supposed to meet us at the battery park, and they weren't there because the boat should have come the day before. So, somehow or other, I remember my father walking over to a policeman, and he got directions how to get to where we're going. How he did it, I don't know, because he couldn't speak one word of English, and I didn't even know where he got the money for the subway. He must have changed some money on Ellis Island or somewheres.
Well, can you describe what happened to Ellis Island?
Ellis Island, well, I know it was a large mass of people that I know. The room was just filled with people. And then we had to have physical examinations.
Can you describe the physical examinations?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it was determined that I'm only 5 years old, that I get my mother takes me along with the women in their area for the examinations. So let's see. Oh yeah. And then there, they say, the picture is still clear in my mind today as I got into all these ladies, and they were all stripped down to the waist. And this made me ask many questions of my mother. How come all women stripped down to the waist and look like that? I've never seen a woman stripped before.
So I imagine you were very surprised.
Yeah. And then we did get vaccinations. I don't know, 3 or 4 vaccinations, I think, in the arm before we left Ellis Island.
So this was the medical exam. Do you remember anything else about the medical examination?
No. Just the amount of people and the doctors and examination.
Okay, then after the medical exam, the legal examination, what happened during the... Do you remember being asked questions by inspectors?
No.
No, how about your parents? Do they...
I'm sure my parents, they were asked questions, but what they answered, I don't know.
Okay, so how... You spent about a day at Ellis?
Yeah.
Did you have any food at Ellis?
I don't... not to my knowledge.
Oh, you just stayed there about a day. Okay, what happened after Ellis?
Well, that day we got on the boat and went to Battery Park. And there we were supposed to meet the sponsors, and they weren't there.
So what did you do?
Well, my father spoke to a policeman, and he had the address on a piece of paper, and he got directions how to go to Brooklyn, but with the subway which way to go, and some reason or other he got there. Of course, you had to take a subway, and then you had to take a train, an elevated train, and get off at Knickerbocker Avenue, and then walk over to the house on Wilson Avenue.
What were your impressions about the subways? How did you feel about the subways?
Well, it was an exciting thing because I've never been on a subway before, underground, never on a train, underground. I was on a train above ground, but never underground, and that was sort of a funny feeling. Be riding under the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you arrived at where you were, what happened? How did you find your apartment?
Well, we got to the house, and there was a store. I think it was a tinsmith shop, and there was a lady and a man there. I don't know if they were the landlord and the landlady of the building, but they let us wait there because our friends weren't there. They did go to the battery and waiting for us over there, and we were at their house. And So this lady took us in the kitchen, gave us coffee and milk and cake. And then she talked to us. She could speak a little bit German. I think she was Jewish, and a lot of Jewish is the same. Yiddish is the same as German. So, and she was explaining to me that it isn't so hard to learn English. She tells me a few words that they're the same, like finger is the same in English, it's the same in German's finger. House is house in both languages. And she used various things like that to tell me it's not too bad. It would be easy to learn.
Okay, how long did you have to wait for your sponsors?
Oh, about, I'd say, 2-3 hours. And then they came.
Okay, can you describe your apartment? What was the apartment like?
Well, it wasn't a very nice apartment. It was just, it must have been about a 4 or 5 story building. And we had a bedroom and kitchen and a living room. But we didn't stay there too long because that building wasn't too clean. It had bed bugs. Well, then that I remember too. Then we had to take all the bed springs out and wash them all down, wash it all off. We moved around a corner then, but before we moved, we made sure everything was clean before we moved to the next house. We stayed there maybe 3, 4, 5 months in that building.
In the first apartment or second apartment?
The first apartment.
Okay, then where did you go after that?
To Green Avenue, 1263 Green Avenue.
And what was that apartment like?
That was like a railroad flat type. It was a 6-family house, but a wooden structure. And there were 2 families on each floor. And we were downstairs on the left side. And we had a parlor and bedrooms and a kitchen. And bathroom in the hall. No bathtub. We had washtubs in the kitchen. That's where I got my baths. And they had these washtubs.
Okay, how did you adjust to being in America? Was it easy for you or difficult?
It wasn't too difficult for me. I guess my parents had a harder time of it. Of course, he had to find a job. My father had to find a job. And so to pay the rent.
What did your father do?
Well, he originally worked as a butcher, where they made cold cuts. He could make cold cuts and cut meats.
And mother?
My mother stayed home. But she also found herself some kind of homework where she was designing for some sweater manufacturer. She designed like pictures which they could knit into the sweaters, like a cat or a rabbit or different animals. She'd make up the design for the knitting company.
Did you start school right away?
I went into the kindergarten, yeah, PS 116 on Knickerbocker Avenue.
And what was that like?
Well, the kindergarten was mainly playing with and pasting little things, and the white glue looked like a glue made from flour, but it had a sweet smell to it and had all different colored pieces of paper and made pictures out of it like
and,
that.
And you were learning English during this?
Well, just by speaking to the other children.
How about your parents? How did they learn English?
My parents, they enrolled in night school. They went to school evenings to learn to speak and read and write English. They did this a number of years.
Where did they go to school? What was the name of the school?
The name of the school, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how was...
Well, I never did go along to that school.
So how was... Was it easy? Your adjustment was pretty easy, but how about later on as you were growing up?
Oh, I never had any problems. Mm-hmm. I think children can pick up English very quickly, especially if you're associating with other children and playing with them, and I think it comes about relatively easy. It's more difficult for a grown-up who has been, say, who's maybe 25, 30 years old to learn a new language. I think that's more difficult than a child.
Well, did you have any? Do you remember anything in particular? Anything special about schools? About your school?
Oh, I enjoyed going there. If I went to that this particular school, I went for the first three terms, and then we moved to Queens.
What section of Queens?
Ridgewood, Queens.
And you started school there also?
Yeah, and I started in PS 93.
Was that adjustment difficult?
No. Well, again, I already had, I always had made friends, and that's about the most difficult thing for a child, to leave your friends. But otherwise, we had a much nicer apartment there than we did.
What was that apartment like?
Well, it was cleaner. It was a cleaner neighborhood. And also, we each had our bedroom. We had a kitchen and a dining room.
And was it, how many families lived in this building?
That
large building?
No. That was a three-family house. Three families.
And your father continued working at the butcher?
At that time, yeah.
Did he do anything else later on?
Well, sometimes he went into cooking. He was a chef in restaurants.
What type of restaurant was this?
Well, neighborhood restaurants.
Okay, so how about later on? How did you adjust later on as you were going into adulthood, after high school, for example?
Well, after high school, I started working in Manhattan in a machine shop. And
what did you do in this shop?
Well, in that shop, I was the low man on a totem pole there. I had to do everything. I had to be the first one in the morning. It was on the fifth floor, but they still had iron shutters on every window. I'd be in there, open up all these shutters every morning. And then whatever errands they had to run to, and then when they had no errands, then they put me on some machinery and taught me how to do this. And this machine shop, various things. Or if they needed to purchase something, they sent me down to Greenwich to carry the steel. Or if they needed the dyes, it was the tool and dye shop. Then I had to buy the dye shoes and carry those. Whatever they need, whatever physically carry it, do. Physically carry it.
Well, after you came, did you have any problems with because you were German, it was right after the war, did you have any problems with anti-German feelings?
I personally didn't. Somewhat, people, they call you ethnic names. Some people did. This was when we first came to the country, yeah.
Okay, and your adult life, can you talk about your adult life a little?
Well, there, when World War II started, then people who knew you were German, they started calling you Nazi, and I didn't stand for that. Of course, I wasn't one. So that, I was working for Remington Rand at the time. So I went right to the personnel department and told them about it. And they spoke to this person, and he never done that again.
Did you serve in the war?
Yes, I served a little over 3 years in World War II.
And where were you stationed?
Well, first at Fort Hood, Texas. I was in the tank destroyers. And then we went to Camp McCoy, Wisconsin. And then to Fort Meade, Maryland. And then to Hampton Roads, Virginia. That's when I got on a boat to go overseas. And the boat that went to Algeria. We landed in Oran, North Africa. And then we stayed there a short spell. Then I was in a special unit, which was supposed to go in the Chinese Army. And I was supposed to be an instructor in the Chinese Army. So from Iran, we went to Egypt through the Mediterranean, and then they got put on a British boat and that went through the Suez Canal and the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean. We landed in Bombay. And from Bombay, they put us on a train, and we went to Calcutta. Then we went to Calcutta maybe 2-3 weeks when Merrill's Marauders had started a push into Burma, and they had taken an airstrip a few hundred miles from the north, backup troops. Then they needed backup troops. Then they called everyone in Calcutta and put us on a plane and flew us up to Assam. And then from Assam, they flew us down into where this airstrip was taken. Then I got into combat in Burma, and that's where I stayed.
Throughout the war, what was your rank in the Army? Well, were you in the Army?
Yeah.
What was your rank?
PFC. That's not too much. Well, it's my own fault, actually, because at the very beginning, doing basic training, I had asked my company commander to go to officer school, and he said he wouldn't release me until I have a year in the service. So that kind of made me angry, because I couldn't see why I have to wait a year. Then, later on, when I was in Burma, after we came out of the combat, we still were in Burma area there. We were repairing bridges. I was in an engineer battalion then when I went to Burma, combat engineers. One day, the officer approached me if I wanted to be an officer. He'd send me back to the United States. But then, then I didn't want to do it. And I feel it was a stupid move right now. I could have gotten out of the jungles and went to officer school at the same time, which I wanted to do 3 years before. This was almost towards the end of the other war in Europe. The European war was just about over at that time. But then I didn't want to make the move when I had the opportunity, so I wound up with a PFC.
How did you feel about the war during the war? Did you have any problems because you were of German descent?
No.
But how did you feel about fighting, because this war was mostly against the German people? Did you have any bad feelings about that? Or?
No, not really. But they, when they first have you in the army, they ask you about that. And if you are a German or Italian, you could have a preference if you would go to Germany or elsewhere. I said, well, if I have a choice, I'll go elsewhere, actually.
What did you do after, when you were discharged from the army?
When I went then I went back to work at Remington Rand till approximately 1948. And then Remington Rand moved to Connecticut, and I could have went along. Of course, I had served apprenticeship at Remington Rand. I had my apprenticeship papers as a tool and die maker, and they only offered 12 people the opportunity to go to Connecticut, but we decided not to go.
And when did you meet your wife?
Well, that's a two-part story. The first time I met her, we were living in Ridgewood, and we were looking for another apartment, and my wife's parents had a two-family house. So we went over there to look at the apartment, which we saw an ad for. And my mother and her mother were speaking and showing each other. Her mother was showing my mother the apartment. We wanted to write something down, so her mother called my wife Erica for a pencil, to bring a pencil and paper, was to write something down. Then when I saw her, I thought, wow. Then, when we left, I said to my mother, if you take this apartment, I want to pay the rent every month.
And what year was this?
This was 1946. No, 45? Oh, no, this is the first story. This was about 40 or 41. Yeah, 40. Mm-hmm. But we didn't take that apartment. And then I didn't see her again till after I came out of the service in 1940. I came out the end of 1945. In 1946, my mother was in a bakery in Hollis, and there she meets my wife's mother in a bakery, and they each look at each other and each say, "What are you doing here?" Well, they lived nearby then. They moved to St. Albans, and my folks had moved to Hollis. So then they decided, this might be a good idea to get us acquainted again. So they arranged that we'd go over to their house for coffee and cake, and we went over there, and we took her out. We went over there, and then we get there. Then the first thing, "Oh, Erica, we don't have any milk. So, will you go to the store and get some milk?" "Yeah." "Then, well, Johnny can go with you. He can walk in." It was evening, you know. So away we went, the two of us. I think it was planned. Then on the way to the store, I asked her out. But for Friday, then we went to the movies in Jamaica. I think it was, was it the Valencia or one of the nice movies in Jamaica. We had dinner and then went to the movies, and then from then we started dating regular.
And how long after did you marry?
Well, we married in November, about 6 months since we started dating. Yeah. But it was worth it. It was really good move.
Hey, let's get back a little. I wanted to ask you about your parents. Did they ever become citizens?
Oh, yes. They became citizens in 1935 or 1934. They had to go to the courthouse in Brooklyn to become citizens, and they had to appear before a judge who asked them questions about how our government operates and different things, and they had to read from a book and then tell him what they have read, and then they also had to speak to show them they can speak English, and then they got their citizen papers. And I got a derivative citizenship because I was a minor at the time.
Okay, let me ask you finally, how were your parents glad they came to America?
Oh yeah. My father never went back. We went back to visit once, my mother and I, in 1939. We were there when the war started. We were visiting my grandmother, and we visited my father's sister and husband and his brother and his wife and two cousins. Three cousins I had then. Then my mother still had one brother to go to in Berlin, but then a war started, and that put a crimp in everything. Then we had to get out, we had to leave the country, but then the boats weren't going anymore, and it was another friend of my mother's who lived in Newark, New Jersey. They had a son over there who was serving an apprenticeship over there in a factory, also to be a tool maker. He was living with his grandmother. He was supposed to be there for 4 years and then come back to the United States after he learned his trade. But when his war started, the grandmother didn't want to let the boy go. So we hung around longer than we should have, trying to get her son to come along with us. He was only a young fellow. He was actually a year or two younger than I. But that delayed the whole process, so it was getting more difficult to get out. So then we went up to Hamburg, and then the only exit we had was going to Denmark, then Sweden, and then Norway. But we had to get visas, so it took us another 2 weeks in Hamburg. So we went to all the consulates, and then we had to get approval from Berlin that we have permission to leave the country. So then we got on a train, and we never had the boy along, and And he got killed, too, over there at this point in Russia. They inducted him in the army. And I don't think they really had a right to do that. His parents were citizens, American citizens, you know. But they wouldn't let us take him along. So we went by train to Denmark, to Copenhagen, and then we went on a ferry. The whole railroad car went right on a boat. We went over to Sweden, and then we went up the coast of Sweden, up to Oslo. Then we had to wait about 2 weeks there to get on a boat. We stayed 2 weeks in Oslo. And then we came on a Norwegian ship back to New York.
Okay. Do you have any last thoughts before we end this interview?
Well, I'm sure happy my folks made the move to come to this country, and I think it's the greatest place in the world actually to live. You can always, if you put your mind to it, and if you go to the schooling opportunities are here, and you really can make something of yourself if you want to, if you have the will to do it, the opportunities are there.
Okay, so is that really it?
Pardon me?
Is that really it?
Well,
do you have any other thoughts that you'd like to include?
Well, I say, I think a lot of immigrants did a great thing for the country. They contributed largely to the building of this nation. And that was good. All different people coming from different parts of the world, all working together to build up a nation, and I think that was a good thing.
Okay, well, I guess I'd like to thank you for this interview, for having us in your home today.
You're welcome.
And I'd like to just sign off on a tape that this is Peter Hahn for the National Park Service. Today is May 1st, 1991. I'm signing off now.